This is Racing HQ for a Wednesday. As I say, in the next 45 minutes, the field should be out for Saturday's racing. But let's get the very latest from the Hawks racing team via Michael. Morning, Mike.
Andrew, how are you going?
Very well indeed. A lot of nice horses nominated now with past acceptance time. Can we start with Deep Field on whether the horse runs on the weekend?
He will not run on the weekend, Andrew.
Okay. Take us through what you're thinking here, the Hawks team.
Look, we just wanted to get him back, obviously, then settle back into Sydney life, which he has done. We're always one step at a time. And we nominated him and just wanted to see what it was going to be like and what the field was like. But, look, he'll probably step out maybe next Saturday. There's a Group 3 1,100-metre race there, or he may go straight into the Galaxy. So, look, we're just keeping all options open. The horse is great. He looks really, really well. Obviously, back into Sydney now and back in his old box and going forward. But, look, no real decision why we did or didn't. It's just a matter of just trying to pick the right race for him going forward.
I know, Mike, he's got bases in both Sydney and Melbourne. Has he been back in Sydney long? Is that something that you also were looking at, whether he's been back long enough to get over the trip?
Yeah, look, we travel our horses up and down the highway, Andrew, so that's not a drama, with what we do with the way our two-state operation runs. So, look, he settled straight back in. He looks bright as well. We could have run him Saturday. There's not a drama with him. He's all good. But we just felt that probably waiting another week, is probably the right thing for the horse at this point in time.
So I'm just looking at the calendar. Is that the Morris McCartan?
Correct.
Yeah, so 1,100 Group 3. So that's an option, or you could go straight to the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's an option. Look, there's options coming up, obviously, there or straight into the Galaxy or, it just depends on how he is. As I said, he's really, really good. He worked well, galloped well last Friday here at Rose Hill. And he stepped out yesterday and had a nice, easy gallop. So we're just kicking him over nicely. And, he's an entire and we're just trying to place him in the right race for the right reasons.
Understand. I guess, you want to win every race with every horse you've got, and Lankan Rupee just proved too good the other day. I guess he may learn from something like an experience like that in such a big race?
Oh, look, it was his sixth race start. He was first up, taking on a superstar in Lankan Rupee. And look, Brazen Bow, he's a Group 1 winner as well. So there's nothing to be disgraced about him.
Yep.
Obviously he's got a lot of hype on the horse and, yes, he was going for six straight, but realistically, he's still a baby.
Yep.
He's still doing it. So, with him, it's an entire. We're trying to place him in the right races. And look, he still ran third in a Group 1 at weight for age level. So, there's nothing to be disgraced about that. So, but he's well, he's good.
All right, that's Deep Field. Not running Saturday, could run the week after. So, Moss Fun, you entered for a couple of races. Which race have you gone for there?
We accepted in both races, the Challenge and the Fireball.
Okay, so you'll just wait for barriers. Is that something is crucial to the decision?
Yeah, look, last start, just probably with the horse casting a plate, they put all the horses in the machines and they had to back them all out again. And she probably just lost the plot a bit, got a bit worked up, Tommy said, and she just probably wanted to run through the bridle a lot and she didn't really hit the line as good as probably what she should have. But she hadn't raced for a long, long time. And, look, fair's fair, depending on whether we put her in 1,000 metre or even back to her own age group. I know she's got a bit of weight, but in saying that, she's a deserved weight carrier for that race. So, look, barriers are crucial. We just want to see, what barriers she does draw to decide, obviously, by the end of today, what we do.
Righto, that's Moss Fun. Headwater?
Headwater accepted.
Okay. Come through the other day in good order?
Yeah, sensational. He comes to that run really, really good. He's trained on very well and looking forward to Saturday.
All right, that's Headwater. Laz is one that we look forward to seeing. Is it going to be Saturday?
It will be. We accepted with him. He trialled very, very good last Friday at Warwick Farm, behind those good sprinters. And he wasn't asked to do much. But he only had a short prep last time in. In saying that, we've always been targeting this autumn with him. So hopefully you'll see him bob up in the races during the championships. But first things first, and he's really, really good, and he's going to run a real good race Saturday.
Okay. And one just before I let you go, Lake Geneva, really brave last week in the Blue Diamond. She done well since?
Yeah, just a very, very good filly this. First up here, she was three wide, no cover, and got hit down the head over the whip. for the inside horse and still ran second. And look, if she'd drawn a barrier in the Blue Diamond, you know, I think you might have seen a different result. She was five wide early, had to go back to fourth last and really rocketed home to run third. So, you know, she's a bit of a smoky in the slipper and she'll head straight into it.
She'll go straight there without another run. Okay.
Correct.
Invisible, one that I've always followed. I see back today at Warwick Farm.
Yeah, first up again, obviously last start or last preparation. In a small run race, he was probably ridden a little bit awkwardly.
Yep.
And Tommy's already had a feel of him and he knows what he did probably wrong on that day. So, look, we put the blinkers on today. Always showed us a lot, but obviously he had that injury and it's always hard to overcome. But we feel he's done everything right going forward to today. So he's just drawn a touch awkward, that's all. But look, if he puts his mind to it and puts his best foot forward, he's going to be right in the finish.
And the one in this last race, how strong is the last race today?
Oh, it's outstanding for a benchmark 80.
Oh, jeez. You got a Himalaya Dream who, drawn a little bit wide again, gets a run being an emergency, but gets a run. But, gee, anything could win this. They're all some nice horses.
Yeah, his run was really, really good last start in Melbourne. He was first up for a long, long time. Obviously, being an overseas horse, overseas stayer, you know, he's done everything right, travelled up really, really good. I thought he'll run a super race today and he's going to be right in the finish. But look, it's a very, very competitive race and albeit I know it's only a benchmark race, but it's got a lot of quality and a lot of depth in it.
I reckon there'll be horses coming out of this that will run in some nice races during the carnival that's underway. Hey, Mike, we thank you for coming on. I know I say it regularly, or probably not regularly enough, but we appreciate the listeners do. I know they tweet me and say thanks to everyone for coming on, and I mean it this morning with Deepfields News. No drama, absolutely no drama, but not running Saturday. It could be the week after.
Yeah, it is. Look, thanks a lot. But obviously, you know, we're trying to do the right thing by the horses and everyone knows our stable and that's what we're about. So they come first and, you know, we try and let everyone know when it happens.
Yep. No, thanks a lot, Mike. Have a good day today, mate.
Thank you.
Michael Hawke's joining us there. So that's the run through. Moss Fund's been accepted for two races, the Challenge and the Fireball. They'll make a decision later today, but Deepfield not running on Saturday, could run in the Morris McCartan. Ty Anglin's our next guest. Morning to you, Ty.
How are you?
Very well indeed. You spent the morning out there at Gary Nixon's stable working Voliere this morning?
Yeah, I quickly went out there and had a sit on him and we threw the blinkers on just to see how he would go. And he worked with a nice smart filly of his, one of his stable mates, and she worked a lot better than Voliere did, but I think she goes pretty well. She won a trial there the other day and I think the blinkers will switch him on now. I'd sort of give him a gallop, give him a good squeeze and a sort of slap behind and hopefully they just try and improve him a couple of lengths.
Do you feel, have you felt just through Voliere's runs that the blinkers are required or is it something you just feel, let's give it a crack?
No, I think they are required. For a two-year-old, I think he's just a bit too casual at the moment. You know, it's really good to work with him on the ground, etc., being a nice casual horse, but sort of when it comes around to race day, both times he's, you know, just hasn't been that fired up or on the bridle as I would like him. And hopefully these blinkers just switch him on that little bit more. And like he trial, when he gets the front, he's the sort of horse that switches off very quick.
Yep.
And in his run the other day when Headwater sort of sprinted really quick, real flat-footed, he just didn't tow me into the race as much as I would have liked him to. I think he's got the ability to match it up with these horses, and I think the blinkers will just switch him on that little bit more, and hopefully we can get the best out of him.
I guess, and we should mention here, Gary told me off air earlier that Saturday is the race. The horses entered for the Black Opal, but they will run in this Todman on Saturday tie.
Yeah, listen, obviously we're eyeing off a Golden Slipper. He's had two runs. Obviously won his first start and ran second behind Headwater, beaten two. And then there was a good margin between third. Wasn't the strongest field, you know, behind Headwater. But in saying that, we ran second behind, you know, the Golden Slipper favourite at the moment. So he really wants to run against these good horses on the weekend just to line up where we are in up against, obviously, Headwater, Vancouver, Furnaces. Mm-hmm. See where we match it with them, and you know if we're right up there, you know where you stand in the slipper, and then we'll go from there. But he's got the ability. we just hope we're up against the good ones.
Well, you're going to get a line, aren't you? As you say, you're going to walk into Furnaces Headwaters there in Vancouver. So if you can run well against those three that are highly regarded in the slipper, then the connections have got the right line to pay a late entry of 150, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's where the main thing is. We could go down the Black Opal and win by three, and you know, you come to the Golden Slipper, you pay up, and you know, you're just not quite matching it with the good ones, and you're sort of there scratching your head saying, "Oh, I wish we went around it the other way." So we're going straight in the deep end, run against the good ones, see where we stand. If we're lucky enough to win it, run a place. Yeah, I'm sure that they'll be more than happy to pay up and give a good side in the Golden Slipper, hopefully.
Yeah exactly. Now, I'm hesitating. You're riding Scissor Kick, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so the only thing I'm not saying is anything about the
Don't even talk about
it. No, exactly. Okay, so we're not mentioning that. But the word from Paul Massari yesterday when he was on the show was the horse has come out of that run really well. Panzer Division was a bit stiff and sore out of the last run, but Scissor Kick seems to have taken that little step again.
Yeah, well, they always had him set for the mile as his main race. So, you know, first up was a nice surprising win. Second up, he just lacked a turn of foot when I give him a good squeeze. Obviously, we were matching against the best three-year-olds and we're all going to run into each other again. So if we were a little bit, I wouldn't say flat second up, but, you know, we have the second up syndrome in racing. And he was only sort of warming up the last 100, and I received a bit of pressure from my outside and my run had closed. So as you would see, the player went over the line, standing up, grabbing hold of him, and we were still only beaten just under two lengths. So I'm not saying it would have changed any of the placings, but the distance would have been a lot closer. So I reckon the mile, his best form's at Randwick. I think this horse, it probably looked like he showed a really good turn of foot over the 1,200, but I think he was on really fresh legs. And you see most of his wins, he's only, you know, at his top the last part of his race. So first try over the mile, and hopefully, you know, from the 1,200 from home, he's really hitting his straps and hopefully pulling away from them.
Yeah, no, understand. All right, we'll wait and see him on Saturday. You got a couple of nice rides today. Have you got a winning one there at Warwick Farm for our listeners?
No, I don't think I have a winning ride. Few placings. I think my best ride would be Miss World for Maddie Smith. One really good first up, good gate. I think if I'm a chance of getting a winner, it will be for Matthews. So well, the rest of them,
they'll be around the mark. Yeah, they'll be around the mark. Miss World is race three, number three. Maddie Smith's hoping that it's another win in store as well. Good luck on Saturday, Ty, particularly with Voliere. It'll tell us a lot what happens in the Todman.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew, and it's obviously good time of year for racing, so
yeah, get into
hopefully
it.
We can get good weather and good barriers.
Yeah, get into it, mate. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ty. Ty Anglin joining us there with the latest on Voliere, so the blinker's going on there. John O'Shea's told me that Haptic, who barrier trialled yesterday, will go straight to the Golden Slipper without another run. E-Grain, who trialled yesterday, goes to the Magic Knight on Saturday week. And the other snippet from Godolphin this morning, William Buick, the retained international jockey for Godolphin, will arrive into Sydney on the weekend on Sunday. He'll ride in Sydney from next Wednesday's program on the Randwick course proper, and William Buick will be in Sydney taking rides. He's available for rides until Golden Slipper Day. So William Buick will be based in Sydney for a fortnight. As I say, his first meeting will be next Wednesday at Randwick. Bryce Hayes is joining us. Morning to you, Bryce.
Yeah, top of the morning, Andrew, to you and your listeners.
Bryce, we're just getting the size of the field through here for Saturday. There is eight runners in the Randwick Guineas, so a few of them have gone. There's a few that have gone to Melbourne, but we end up with eight in the Randwick Guineas, including yours.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we talk of Sworn to Silence, who I think most people saw running through nicely there fortnight ago. Look, it was just nice late, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was. He's, you know, he's been programmed towards a mile on a big track, and, you know, the obvious mile on a big track is a Group 1 Randwick Guineas. So look, we've had it in mind for quite some time, and albeit he might be a lightly raced and lowly rated horse, his previous two runs just fed in perfectly and fitted in perfectly in terms of giving them the necessary and the right preparation to have him on song to be competitive there on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. Do you feel he's come on through that run?
Oh, he's come on significantly, Andrew, and that's what he's been programmed to do, and he probably just got a little bit above himself because of where he was at. He was through between runs there going into the Hobartville, and he just had lovely continuity going into running around with Mile out.
I know Christian Reith rode last time, but you'd sort of made a booking for Zach Purton prior to that, knowing Zach would probably be in town for Sacred Falls.
Yeah, no. To Zach's credit, he's been really good to me. Sort of since I went out by myself in terms of staying in touch, and even went out of his way to ride some work for me in the off season, the Hong Kong off season. I actually had a couple of fillies here, that younger fillies that were going exceptionally well, and we sort of had them programmed for him to come down and ride. But they've just come up short and just gone amiss with some minor injuries, which is they're just going to have a break. But as it's worked out, we sounded him out probably 2.5 months ago that we'd be going to a Randwick Guineas and we'd ride it if I got there, and he had no hesitation in saying yes. So, no, we did the business there some time ago, and it's just about getting the horse there and getting him in the right order to be competitive.
Listening to you, he's in that order. He's right where you want him.
Oh, he is. But make no bones about it. It's obviously, we realise we're under no illusions as to the task at hand, and we've obviously got enormous respect for the field that there is, and touted as the best 3-year-olds in the country. So, look, we certainly do need to improve. But, look, I thought the manner in which the race was run the other day, under the circumstances in terms of that we drew a poor gate, I'm not sort of agree with Ty. I'm not trying to declare that the placings might have changed, but I certainly would suggest that the margin might have been smaller.
Okay. Well, I think we all saw it. If you haven't seen it, just go back. I think it was the most spoken about horse for a horse not winning out of that race, the Hobartville.
Yeah. to the horse's credit, too, if you compare the way the race was run, where he came from at the point of the turn, and the sectionals throughout the run was indicative of the horse's effort, and they were on par with anything else in the race. So the key for him is to draw around horses that gives him a chance to drag him into the race. If he gets that, he's going to be very, very strong late. So there's horses there that are second up at a mile, and they're going to really need to run it out.
Well, it's an exciting time for you, Bryce. You're building up a young team, and here you are running in a Group 1 with a horse that most feel will be a genuine chance in a field of 8.
Yeah, unbelievable. It's humbling just to be there, and without sounding cliche at all, it's just one day at a time. We just get him there in the right order, and we'll leave the rest to our man on board, because there's none better in the business that can do that under the big occasions.
Yeah, for sure. We're looking forward to seeing Zach Purton on Saturday out at Randwick. Good luck to you, Bryce. Hope the horse runs well for you.
Yeah, appreciate it. I hope everyone finds a winner today, Andrew. Thanks.
Righto, beautiful. That is the latest on Sworn to Silence there, with the latest on the Randwick Guineas. There are 8 lining up in the Randwick Guineas, as I've told you. Just getting other details here. 8 in the Guineas and 9 in the Canterbury Stakes. That's the run through. Now, in regard to a few of these relevant to the Randwick Guineas and the Australian Guineas, Tester Shadow goes to the Australian Guineas at Flemington on Saturday. So that's where Tester Shadow has gone. That decision's been made. Mirian for Mike Maroney, they've decided to stay in Melbourne, run in the Australian Guineas rather than the Randwick Guineas. So that's another one that's staying in Melbourne. So that's the run through of the news that we've got at this stage. A couple that aren't running at Randwick that are instead running in the Australian Guineas on Saturday at Flemington. As I say, we'll get those final field and barrier draws over the next half an hour or so. 8 in the Randwick Guineas and 9 in the Canterbury Stakes. By the way, I spoke with Gay Waterhouse earlier off air about Sweet Idea, who barrier trialled yesterday. There's no set plans for Sweet Idea at this stage. The ultimate aim is the Stradbroke, but where Sweet Idea kicks off in the autumn is yet to be worked out. She did tell me that Queenstown put in a real nice piece of work this morning and is right and ready to go towards the Canberra Cup on Sunday. A big day, and we'll be broadcasting broadcasting Racing HQ from Canberra tomorrow. I'll be there with a big luncheon on and interviewing, got the privilege of interviewing Gay Waterhouse tomorrow at that luncheon. So Racing HQ tomorrow morning from Canberra, and one of our guests will be leading Canberra trainer Nick Olive. Well, Mark Hunter's online now to have a look at Sandown Lakeside. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Andrew.
I know you're out and about this morning. I hope that's not the police chasing you down for being on the phone.
That's the fire brigade waiting to put the tips out, Andrew. They'll be so hot they're waiting to put the tips out.
I hope you're right at about 5:45 this afternoon. What's your best?
Race 3, number 6, Princess Hussey, and race 4, number 1, Jubio. Firstly, Princess Hussey, I thought she was absolutely fantastic last start at Sandown. She got strung up on the fence. She had nowhere to go. She was really strong late. She gets into a race here where there's not much speed up front. I think she can park second or third. Sarawak looks the leader. She'll get a lovely run. And I reckon she's just a sensational each way bet.
All right, so that's race 3, number 6, Princess Hussey for Darren Weir. And I reckon I've got some bad news for you on the other one. The other one came out just before 9 o'clock as a late one, Mark. I know you've been out and about driving in the last little while, so it's come out as a late one, race 4, number 1.
That's all right. We'll go race 6, number 6, Ariane, who had the two runs back against the older horses. It ran well first up and then last start in a much stronger race. Just got into an awful spot the whole way, but it was strong to the line. I think it's fitter. It's back to its own age. It gets D done on board. And again, this looks the perfect race for Ariane in race 6.
Righto. So the two best are race 3, number 6, and race 6, number 6. That starts the quaddy race 6, Mark. What are your other numbers?
6, 8, 1 and 11, number 6, Ariane, for the reasons I mentioned. I think the big danger and the value here is number 8, Talawar, who, ridden back two starts ago, went fantastic. Then they went forward last start and still won, looking for a quiet ride from the barrier. One Royal Ocean fitter, one run back, has got the claim. And 11, Sophie's Finale, was terrific first up, then drew the inside the other day, had no hope from there. 6, 8, 1 and 11.
Race number 7's over the 1,400 metres, Mark.
Well, I'm going against the favourites here, Andrew. I'll go 7, 11, 3 and 4. Number 7, Kelashani Ladd, who had just no luck last start. It got knocked over early, was back to last. It hit the line well. Just hoping it can hold a better spot here to beat number 11, the Spitfire. Two runs back from a spell, looked the winner last start. Just fit for that run, got a good hope. 3, Solomon Song, will go forward on the speed with a claim. And 4, Cordova, who's going quite well. It'll be ridden back, but you can usually run on by now. 7, 11, 3 and 4.
Race 8 over the 2,400 metres. A few scratchings here. What do you fancy?
I'm going for 4, 8, 11 and 7. I think if number 4, Refectory, runs to its last run, it wins.
Yep.
It will race up on the speed. D done on board to beat number 8, Racky Roulette, who looked the winner at Ballarat. I thought had every chance, but got a good hope again. 11, Burner Caddy, gets a lovely run from the draw. And 7, A Little Edgy, who probably got too far back last start. 4, 8, 11 and 7.
And the last race here, Mark, is, again, back to that 1,400-metre trip.
Yeah, this is a fantastic race here. You've got some good imports going around, Doggo. 4, 6, 9 and 14. Number 4, Grand Orator. Jumping in distance, I think it's ready for that. It was a terrific win last start at Mornington to beat number 6, Let Me Handle It. Comes across from Hong Kong. Jumped out down the straight recently in a hot trial and looked to go well. 9, Tall Ship. This is a horse you can follow right through the grades here on its last start at Goodwood by 7 lengths. It might need further, but it's going to be very strong late. And then 14, Eye of the World, who always runs well in these races. Just a little bit worried about barrier 1 by this stage of the day. 4, 6, 9 and 14.
Righto, being a Wednesday there, the quaddie tips for Sandown Lakeside, the best from Mark, race 3, number 6 and race 6, number 6. Good luck to you, Mark. Have a good day, mate. Mark Hunter there looking at Sandown in Melbourne. By the way, Gerald Ryan's confirmed that Fireworks and Perignon both running in the Riesling. They won't be running, or Perignon won't be running down in Canberra on Sunday in the Black Opal. So Fireworks and Perignon both lining up in the Riesling on Saturday. It's 24 to 10, Racing HQ.
There's never been a better time to invest in a QTIS yearling. Don't miss that chance at the Magic Millions Gold Coast March Yearling Sale. 394 quality lots going under the hammer March 16 and 17 at the sale that produce Group 1 stars, Buffering, Spirit of Boom and Tinto. Over $24 million on offer in Cuter's bonuses and Magic Millions prize money, including the $1 million Cuter's all-age feature on Australia's richest Magic Millions race day on the Gold Coast each January. Visit magicmillions.com.au.
Star Stable's going to be starting this coming Saturday, Randwick Guineas Day, and I noted yesterday Star Stable put out the first seal is really proving so popular. I think its price is about 180,000, could be a bit more than that, but it's becoming very, very popular given what she did last week and the races that she's set to take on during the remainder of the Sydney Autumn Carnival. So be a part of it. If you're a first seal follower or you want to put something else in your team, go to starstable.com.au. Make sure you do it, though, by 11 this Saturday morning.